Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast at 1510 AM WUFC Boston, heard live every first Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also tune into my show on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So to learn more and for a full station broadcast schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in to our October show. Our topic is Understanding Your Dreams for Enlightenment. This is particularly a favorite topic of mine. I've worked with my dreams for many years, and I was fortunate to have worked with a dream analyst for 7 years. She was a Jungian analyst who specialized in dreams, and she certainly taught me so much. So between what I learned from her, my own tending to my own dream analysis, and then also books I've read, I'm excited to share with you in our show this evening. You know, our dreams are amazing because of the opportunity that they give us to look closely at ourselves as dreamers. We can really learn a lot about ourselves through our dreams, and that is true whether it's physically, we can learn about our physical self, our bodies, psychologically, you know, our mental and emotional states, and certainly also spiritually. And often this information is not available to us in any other way, which I think is so important. So it's been shown that if a person is consistently sleep-deprived, that they may, in fact, suffer mentally. I'm sure you've heard that before. So sleep itself, of course, is necessary for your mental as well as your physical health, and dreams are a tremendous way for us to access information that is deep inside ourselves. So today I will start by sharing some historic information about dreams and also talk about various characteristics that dreams have. I want to talk about different methods of interpreting dreams as well as tips for recall. And then I want to talk about types of dreams and what they might mean. I'm especially excited to share with you that there are considered to be 13 spiritual dreams. And they aren't the kinds of dreams that you normally would associate as a spiritual dream or a rite of passage. So again, I have personally found that information very helpful. So as we get started, let's go ahead and look first at historic information about dreams. So I don't know whether you're aware that in certain cultures, sleep was considered to be a little death of sorts. And I always found that interesting. In fact, people thought that the dream world was another physical world that people went into. So we're talking about, you know, in certain cultures historically. And in these certain societies, it was also believed that dreams held prophetic messages from our own human psyche. And just as a quick aside, I want to explain what the word psyche means, spelled P-S-Y-C-H-E. Your psyche is considered the totality of the human mind. So in other words, it's both the conscious and the unconscious mind is considered to be your psyche. So in certain societies, it was believed that the human psyche of a person was actually made up of multiple souls, all of which separate and have different experiences in sleep that we actually call dreams when we're awake. Isn't that an interesting concept? And in ancient Egypt, it was believed also that the gods only spoke to people through their dreams. So in those cultures, priests built shrines where people who were found to have special dreaming abilities could actually go, they could sleep and dream at these shrines, receiving messages from the gods in their dreams. And these shrines were often decorated, by the way, with statues. For example, like the Egyptian god of the dead was such a statue at that shrine. And to continue just with that historical information, throughout history, Homer, through Plato, taught that dreams were vehicles, were actually vehicles for spiritual manifestation. So we were able to grow spiritually through paying attention to and participating in our dreams. So again, the Greeks considered dreams to be messages from the gods, And it was interesting because people of all classes, and this would be kings, you know, down to merchants, gathered for interpretations of their dreams. Now, at some point, and I think it was associated most with Aristotle, Aristotle was the first to introduce the idea that dreams were not messages from the gods. He actually taught that dreams were the mind's effort to process events of life. So they were the mind's effort to process events of life. And he also thought that they reflected the dreamer's psyche, the actual conscious and unconscious mind of the dreamer. So that's probably closer to what we feel today. Additionally, and interestingly, Hippocrates, whom we know to be the founder of modern medicine, believed that dreams could facilitate the diagnosis of human illness. Now, this was, of course, an important breakthrough, because if we could figure out our dreams, the idea was that we might receive the answer to how to treat a certain illness, or actually we might even find out that an illness, in fact, existed within a person's body. And, of course, if we take the Bible, we know that was rich with references to dreams in which God reveals himself, of course, to certain chosen people and so on. But I also want to look at a non-Western kind of dream interpretation and focus on that, too. So I want to emphasize that in some cultures, and this would include African, Australian, Aboriginal tribes, also Native American tribes, have always used dreams. And they've used them as a way to share a collective spirit memory. And they still get together in groups in order to interpret each other's dreams. So, you know, again, just so important that we have not only the individual dreamer, but that we also have a concept of a collective spirit memory. And, of course, many times we've talked before on these shows about soul groups, coming in with soul groups, communities, and so on. So Native Americans, in particular, believe that dreams were part of the spiritual system, and they provided a way for the dreamer to contact supernatural spirits. And also, of course, through that, to gain a certain type of power. So in addition to contacting supernatural spirits and gaining power, dreams were used as well to predict the future. And you may have even seen in either in person at some of the caves or at least in pictures, some Aboriginal rock paintings that show images from the dream time. And according to Native American culture, dreams reveal secrets about both the physical world and the spiritual world, and to some extent, how the two exist together. So, you know, again, very exciting the way that dreams are used. Now, in more modern times, there certainly have been numerous writers and artists and musicians who've credited their dreams as the inspiration for their work. And this is something I've always found really fascinating. So I've jotted a few things down here that I want to share with you as examples. Samuel Taylor Coleridge, a writer who said that his famous poem, Kubla Khan, came from a dream. And then, of course, Albert Einstein, who is said to have received the basis of the theory of relativity in a series of his dreams. Dali, the famous artist, he said his dreams inspired his artwork. And also Picasso, his artwork, he said, was inspired by his dreams. Robert Louis Stevenson, who wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, said that the ideas came to him in a dream. Now, in addition to writing there is and artwork, there was also music. Some said music came from dreams. Particularly, Mozart and Beethoven said that their music, the inspiration for their particular pieces, came from dreams. And also Paul McCartney for his song Yesterday. And then scientifically, and I'm sure there are many, but Mendeleev, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he did the periodic table. And he said he received the concepts for the elements of physical matter from his dreams. So we know then that dreams have the purpose of providing us with a way to tap our unconscious self and even to receive daily guidance. And I want to talk more about that, but before that I want to talk just a little bit about sleep stages and cycles. Now, this, I think, is important to know, like at what point in the night do we dream, or at what point, what stage or cycle do we dream, or what goes on in those stages. And actually, interestingly, there's a progression of what are considered to be five sleep stages, and this is how I understand it. I'm very fortunate also that I have two clients who are sleep specialists, so that helps to know about the sleep stages. Anyway, stage one, first there's considered to be light sleep. And the light sleep is the time in which the sleeper may have sort of a hallucinatory experiences, like maybe a sensation of falling could occur at that very beginning in that light sleep. And I think we've all had that feeling at one time or another. But the light sleep, the stage one, after about 5 minutes of that, then it moves into stage two. And stage two is just, it just goes a little deeper, and that lasts about 20 minutes. Then apparently there's a stage three, which they call a very brief transitional stage into the next and very important stage, which is stage four. Now, this is a stage of very deep sleep during which people sometimes sleepwalk, sleep talk, and also something called night terrors can occur at that time. And night terrors and nightmares, by the way, are not the same, and I will be describing the difference shortly, but I want to stay with these stages for a moment. During stage four, this is really important, a growth hormone is released into your body, and bodily tissues are repaired during the stage four stage, you know, during that stage four. So if, for example, you're having a lot of difficulty sleeping peacefully at night, and let's say you were in a car accident and you needed to heal certain parts of your body, or you were having an illness and were having difficulty sleeping, you can see that being able to go into stage four sleep would be very important in order to heal your body. Now, interestingly, the stage four lasts about a half an hour. So it's not long, but it lasts about a half an hour. But again, to heal, you have to go into stage four sleep. And again, I think that's important for you to know that. Then that moves into stage five, and after stage four, sleep goes back through stages, you know, four, three, or from four, it goes into three, then two. But instead of waking up, then you enter the fascinating sleep stage of what's called REM sleep. Now, REM, capital R, capital E, capital M, rapid eye movement is what it stands for. A person in REM sleep has brain waves, which interestingly are similar to a waking state. And breathing can be more rapid. I believe blood pressure can actually increase or rise. And also it's at this level in REM sleep that the body often has been said to, by the dreamer, to feel paralyzed. And I believe, as I remember from the analyst, her saying that it's believed to happen so the dreamer can't actually act out the dream. So that's interesting. But at any rate, you have, again, the stages 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then a looping back and forth into the REM sleep. So now that you can understand stages and cycles just a little better, I hope, I want to change gears and look at characteristics that are common to dreams in general. So, you know, we know that dreams have fascinated all types of people, from writers to musicians to researchers to doctors and so on for thousands of years. And some of that research has shown that there are really five basic characteristics of dreams, and I want to explain those before we even get into types or how to analyze. So the first characteristic of most dreams is that dreams frequently contain intense emotions. Okay, that's a major characteristic, actually, is that the emotions that we experience in dreams can be intense, and in some cases can really even be scary or painful. And it's not uncommon for people to report that they have dreamed about deeply embarrassing situations. You know, have you ever had a dream that you were in your pajamas standing in the grocery store, or naked for that matter, but at any rate, or you've had a profoundly scary event, like you were being chased by an animal or a frightening person, you know, and so your emotions can be intense. And in some instances, these emotions can become so intense that they actually interrupt the dream or cause you to wake abruptly as a way of escaping it. Now, the three most common emotions, as I understood it, that become intensified by dreams, of course, are said to be fear, anxiety in general, and the element, the emotion of surprise. So fear, anxiety, and surprise are considered to be the three emotions that are most frequently containing any intensity. So that's the first characteristic, this idea of intense emotions. Now, the second characteristic is that dreams can have strange or weird content, you know, and we accept that without any question. Like, it wouldn't happen, we know, in the normal waking state, but it's quite common to have strange or weird content in a dream. And what's really interesting about that is that when we dream of odd events and this weird content that can occur, As a dreamer, we typically accept what we're dreaming during the dream, of course, without any question while we're in that state. It's as though within the dream, these strange and usually illogical events or weird perceptions, things that come up or happen or not, that are not seen as being out of place at all to us in the dream state. But of course, if we remember the dream upon waking, the content of the dream is seen as odd or even difficult to explain. So accepting weird content, strange circumstances during the dream, you know, is not at all unusual. It's also hard to remember those things because they are unusual or strange when you actually wake up if you don't jot that down. Now, a third interesting characteristic is that dreams are frequently not only strange weird content, but they can be very disorganized. Things don't happen necessarily in a linear fashion, again, like they would logically in the waking state. So you could have dreams that are fragments. You could have dreams that have a lot of inconsistencies or just ambiguities. And sometimes these events or things can really be bizarre in the way that they present. Research shows that one of the sort of trademarks of dreams, if you want to call it, is content and organization that's illogical, or just situations in which the natural laws of the universe are not obeyed in the dream state. And some have said that it's as though in the dream state we don't become, if you want to say, bound by natural laws of time and order. And that's kind of interesting to me, that in our dream state we can kind of, you know, not be bound by those natural laws. One that comes to my mind immediately, I think most people have had a flying dream, you know, so you can fly. Or maybe you can time travel. Or another interesting one is that you might shift into someone else or something completely different, you know, or something around you in the dream becomes something completely different, a lot of morphing kind of things. So that would be the third interesting point, is that they might be disorganized or just illogical. A fourth point, fourth characteristic, is that it's just as generally hard to remember dreams. That's common of most dreams. And, you know, I know you've probably found that access to the information that was contained within the dream when it occurred just sort of diminishes rapidly once you wake up. And I don't care how amazing the dream was, you can think to yourself when you awaken, I'm going to remember that, or it was so powerful, I will remember that. But you know how it goes. The dream is vivid, and you think you're not going to forget it, but often you do. And in fact, research on dreams shows that approximately 95% of all dreams are forgotten entirely upon awakening. So that's kind of an amazing number to me. 95% are forgotten entirely upon awakening. So we'll talk a little bit about tips for recall when we get into that momentarily. The last characteristic, though, just to finish up with those five, is that often there are weird sensations that people have. So it's one thing to have illogical, disorganized, strange, weird content, but you can also just have weird sensations that people say they experience in a dream. And a common one, of course, is the sensation of falling. Or you're in a dream and someone comes towards you and you just can't move. Like in real life, you would have been able to move, but you cannot move. You freeze. Or you're unable to control the normal movements of your body like you would in an awake state. So the weird sensations, again, of something physical. And these are just a few of the commonly reported what are called sensory experiences that occur during dreams. So those are the five primary characteristics that characterize most dreams. Now, what about, again, just some tips for a good night's sleep and good dreams? Now, many people say that they don't dream, but it's not that they don't dream. It's that they don't think they're dreaming, or they just don't remember their dreams when they awaken, because we're all dreaming. And the tips that I'll share with you are just general suggestions that you can find in most studies about dreams. And, you know, many people say, I don't think I dream, but of course we all dream every night. So how do you remember your dreams? I guess that's really the question. Well, it's believed that you should, and these are just some common things you'd find in if you were to Google this, but it's believed that, of course, you should refrain from any alcohol for at least, if this is a glass of wine with dinner or whatever, at least 3 hours before bedtime, since it does disturb, alcohol does disturb your natural sleep cycle, and it does decrease the time that you spend in the REM stage or the REM sleep, and that's really probably the most important thing, that many people don't realize that. Also, of course, avoid caffeine before bedtime, because it also will interfere with your REM sleep. Now, it can be helpful to drink a warm glass of milk or eat a piece of turkey, since both contain an amino acid called tryptophan, which causes drowsiness and relaxation. And, of course, we don't want you to smoke at all, but especially if you happen to be a smoker, you don't want to smoke several hours before sleeping because the smoking increases your heart rate and your blood pressure and, again, interferes with the stages of sleep. Another one that a lot of people don't pay as much attention to is to avoid strenuous exercise. So let's say in the evening, one of my clients says she does the elliptical at 9 o'clock and during a show because it's so easy to do the elliptical. She's got it set up that way during her favorite show. But strenuous exercise 2 hours before bedtime, you know, at least 2 hours before, you shouldn't do it since your body fills with adrenaline and, again, interferes with your sleep stages. And finally, to enhance going to sleep and having a good night's sleep, take a warm shower or bath because that makes your blood rush to the surface of your skin, and it actually makes it easier to sleep. And if you're into aromatherapy, you know that lavender essential oil, adding a drop or two to your bath water or rosemary oil, can also be very soothing and relaxing. So as we speak about relaxing, we need to consider how often dreams themselves can reflect our own anxieties. And when we come back from our next break, I'm going to share not only how some of the ways that you can relax and how dreams can be connected to our daily lives and some of our anxieties appear in our dreams, but at that point I'll also get into the types of dreams and categories. It is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, WUFC, Boston. We will be back for further information on understanding your dreams. To call in during our second half of the show, our local number is 617-237-1234 or toll-free 866-338-9663. Thank you for listening.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
J.T. Lewis is the big brother of Jesse Lewis, who died in Sandy Hook Elementary on December 14, 2012, while saving the lives of nine of his classmates. J.T. found comfort after Rwandan orphan genocide survivors reached out to him from their country to express their condolences and share their personal stories of tragedy and healing. Inspired by the love that was shown to him, JT started Newtown Helps Africa, a nonprofit organization that helps young people in Africa and beyond who've suffered personal tragedy and have shown resilience. He successfully sent one young Rwandan woman to college for 4 years and plans to do much more, all the while inspiring many young people around the world to turn hardship into an opportunity to make the world a better place. Link on to NewtownHelpsRwanda.org.
Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love. By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM, WUFC Radio Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Our topic on this show is understanding your dreams. You can call in during this part of the show by calling the local number 617-237-1234 or toll free 866-338-9663. So earlier on the show, we talked about tips for a good night's sleep, good dreams, and all of that. But I had mentioned before the break that dreams often reflect our own anxieties as well. So dreams in which we worry about things are actually more common than you would think. The worry or anxiety that we feel in dreams may seem to be about something insignificant when compared to situations in our waking lives, or just seem to have nothing to do with reality. However, actually, dreams are almost always connected in some way with our daily lives. And our subconscious uses symbols rather than straightforward imagery to get the point across. So it's really important to examine your dreams closely, and in that way you can discover areas in your life about which maybe you need to delve into, to look at, or you're uncertain. You know, something you haven't given a lot of thought to but maybe needs your attention. But basically the idea is that it's important to find the source of the anxiety in your waking life. And generally, once you do this, you can release the need to have these dreams. Interestingly, though, there are some dreams that are considered common anxiety dreams, like trying to run to or away from something and finding that you can't move at all or you can't move properly. That's actually a very common anxiety dream. And dreams of being pursued are also very common and frightening, as you know if you've ever had that dream. You know, you could be a hunter in a dream that and may feel an invisible presence, or you just have the sense there's a huge animal or a monster. But there's an endless list of things that can chase us in our dreams. But later in the show, we're going to talk about certain dreams called spiritual dreams, which, again, surprised me when I learned that. But let's go into types of dreams and categories, then we'll sub into the spiritual dreams. So I want to start with the good old nightmare, because everybody's probably had a nightmare. And unfortunately, some of us may have even had a recurring nightmare in our lives, especially as children. Now, a nightmare takes place during the REM sleep. What's interesting is that the sleeper usually doesn't exhibit excitement during a nightmare, but of course often remembers the nightmare and may in fact even wake up from it. But a nightmare usually expresses hidden fears that we've had in our unconscious and often forces us to recognize feelings that you could say we were denying or may have been denying. You see, I learned that nightmares take the form they do to ensure that the content will be remembered. And I think that's really interesting, because if they were less nightmarish, we may not pay attention to them. And I was also told that the scary characters in our nightmares are actually often aspects of ourselves that we either don't like very much or that we just don't own. You know, so it's either something we don't like or something we're disowning. So as a simple exercise, you can actually evaluate a nightmare, especially a recurrent one, that you might have had, and try to figure out what aspect of yourself is it that's being revealed. So again, nightmares are important, and they come exactly as they do, and especially if they're recurrent, because they are the perfect type of dream for you to get the message. Now, there's also something called a night terror, and that's T-E-R-R-O-R, different from a nightmare. The night terror can occur at any time of sleep, and in a night terror, the sleeper usually exhibits physical shaking and sweating, and for this reason, the night terror has been seen as a releasing of trauma. So again, different than a nightmare, more of the shaking, sweating, doesn't always, I think this is interesting, the dreamer doesn't usually, in fact, remember the content of the night terror, which the nightmare, they can remember the content, but the terror is more of a shaking and sweating. Often happens in children. In fact, in coaching and teaching dream work, I've had people comment on having a child who went through a stage of night terrors during a really difficult time. For example, maybe the parents were getting a divorce and one of the parents was leaving the family. So this was a way for the child to release the trauma. And the body is said to shake off trauma in this way. A third type of category would be the lucid dream, and lucid is spelled L-U-C-I-D. Now, in a lucid dream, you realize that you're dreaming during the dream, and it's usually described as feeling like you're kind of half dreaming, half awake, so you know you're dreaming, but you're still in the dream. And the dream usually emerges from your unconscious and is thought to reflect a situation in your life that is important and that needs to be resolved. And when you're half asleep and half awake, it's believed that you have the power to control what's actually going on in the lucid dream. It's as though you're in a state where you could make some choices about what's going to happen next in the dream. And the awakened dreamer can generate amazing insights and realize extraordinary creative energies during a lucid dream. So in lucid dreams, again, this healing work, this creative healing work is often dramatically woven into the dream, can be then analyzed and give us lots of information. So I want to do another little did you know type thing. I had found out that in the Far East, lucid dreaming has been the focus of intense attention for more than 900 years. Lucid dreaming has been seen as a spiritual discipline and really of the highest order of importance. So many Hindus, Buddhists, and Tibetans believe that the discarnate soul after death, so the person dies, but their soul is exactly the same as the experience that we're calling dreaming when we're alive. So back to those multiple souls within a body and so on. Now, Carlos Castaneda, whom you may have heard of, a Peruvian-American author who had a PhD in anthropology, he started writing the teachings of Don Juan, I think it was in 1968. He wrote a series of books that describe not only his training in shamanism, particularly with a group called the Toltecs. But in his writing, he reminded himself that each time he was in a dream and he caught sight of his hands, he would remember that it was a dream, so he could create or use the lucid dreaming type of ability to create. So, you know, just really interesting that he would put that in his writing. There is also, of course, the category called the psychic dream. And these are dreams that deal with a person's ESP. So, for example, it might be a clairvoyant dream in which a person reveals the whereabouts of an object or a person is given some kind of information that otherwise would be unknown. And in some psychic dreams, two people can communicate in their dreams with one another. You could Google psychic dreams and get lots about that, but that's something I've always found really fascinating. Another term for the psychic dream, of course, is prophetic dreams, in which a person may dream of events that eventually do, in fact, occur, or the person, in a sense, is able to predict the future. Okay, so now we're up to 13 types of spiritual dreams, and there are certainly approaches to this. So let me start with just a couple of quick approaches before we get into the 13 types. We know that Sigmund Freud's approach to dreams involved the idea that dreams were wish fulfillment and sexual in nature, okay? And then Freud had a student, Carl Jung, J-U-N-G, who introduced a different idea about not only dreams but other psychological teaching as well. He created the term called collective unconscious. Now, collective unconscious was a term to define a place that each of us can tap into in our dream state that was a place of universal symbols and energies, like archetypes. He felt that we were all connected through a common and vast intelligence of these symbols that we could access during the dream state. So tonight, you could have a dream of a purple giraffe with polka dots, and a person in India tonight could also have that dream, although you've never met each other. And that's the idea that you both access the symbol from the collective unconscious. There was another dream analyst who factors strongly in, and his name was Fitz Perls, and he had an approach to dreams pronounced Gestalt, G-E-S-T-A-L-T. Now, this approach suggested that everything and everyone in the dream is a living representation of some aspect of the dreamer's total being and psyche. So even inanimate objects are alive and can speak to you. What's interesting about that is that if you had that dream and woke up, you could say, you know, what aspect of myself does this thing in my dream represent? So it takes the sort of analysis piece to a different level. Okay, 13 different types of spiritual dreams. Let me start with one, and we'll probably only get one in before the break. But the first spiritual guidance dream is called the chase dream. So even though we were talking about it being an anxiety dream possibly, in a chase dream, we're either the chaser or the one being chased. And if we are chasing, whatever we're chasing is a symbolic desire in our life. That's the way we're supposed to look at that. And this desire is said to symbolize what it is we're trying to become. So it's less common, but we may also have a chase dream in which we're observing a chase, more like a witness. I'll tell you more about that after the break. But it is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM WUFC Boston. Our topic, understanding your dreams. To call in during our second half of the show, local 617-237-1234 or toll free 866-338-9663. Thanks for listening.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Invite the Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program, into your school, classroom, or wellness center. Kids for Love Project is focused on teaching kids unconditional love for self and others. The project is a journey into self-discovery. It consists of fun, creative tools to learn self-love, like I choose love, I am love, I stand in love, and utilizing one's energies with reconnective healing and tuning into one's intuition for inner guidance, plus connecting to our natural surroundings. Kids who hold love for self do not bully or harm others. Let's cultivate a kinder world that holds compassion for all. Teaching the power of love to our kids is the way. To learn more or to bring Kids for Love Project to your school, contact Deborah Beauvais, 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to our Kids for Love Project on Facebook.
Join the Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today. Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. Join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts and celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start your own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project, celebrating kids that empower others. Callers into the show are in a drawing. It's every first Saturday at 2 p.m.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 10 a.m. WUFC Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, and our topic is understanding your dreams. So before the break, we talked about the chase dream, and chase dreams also often fall into three categories, so I want to mention those. You can have what's called the search dream. It's another form of the chase dream, and we're searching for someone or something, and we just can't seem to find them. Or you could say things are slower, you know, than a general chase dream, a search dream. So what are you searching for? What does it represent symbolically? Another form of the chase dream is a running dream. We know something's after us. We're trying to avoid it. And, of course, our dream is keyed toward avoiding that oncoming situation or person. So, again, symbolically, it would be extremely important to look at what might you be running from or what's chasing you and so on. Now, a third type of chase dream, spiritual guidance chase dream, is the trap dream. And we have a dream of being trapped. You know, we can't outrun or avoid something, or something collapses on us. But again, we want to look at the symbolic meaning of who or what has trapped you. So the second type of spiritual guidance dream is called the flying dream. And I had mentioned before, many of us have had a flying dream. So you want to look at and identify who or what is flying. Is it you? And if it is you, are you disguised as something else? Are you a bird? Are you one of my clients had a dream that she was a doctor, and she's not a doctor, so is that her aspiration? You know, what does that actually mean? Because when we fall asleep, our consciousness leaves our body, and at the end of the night, our consciousness, and some do call that our soul, once again returns to rejoin our physical body. And as it gets close, it becomes rigid and positions itself directly above our physical body. And I was taught that slowly it floats down until it realigns itself with the body, which gives us that sensation of falling that we might have before awakening. And, of course, we never hit the ground because suddenly we're awake when the consciousness re-enters. So, again, the flying dream. There is a third type of dream, spiritual dream, called drifting or floating away. A little different than flying, but drifting or floating away. And in this dream, we have a sensation of floating when we're falling asleep, and that is pretty much universal, but it generally represents to us that the consciousness is either leaving or re-entering the body in a drifting or floating dream. Now, the fourth type of spiritual dream is a dream of birth or death, and a spiritual guidance dream of birth or death really gives us the same message, and that is whatever it is that's dying is symbolically interpreted as something that is about to change. So, you know, sometimes people will say to me, oh, I had a dream that I died, and they're so frightened about that. But actually, it just is telling you symbolically that something's about to change, and you have to look at what in your life is calling for a death of sorts so that something else can also be born. So death dreams and birth dreams really symbolize growth and development of personality and character. And if something is being born, you know, something new is coming into our lives. Likewise, of course, there's going to be growth and development. Let's see. And, I want to add something about that. If you ever dream of holding a baby or having a baby, And I was taught, and this was particularly helpful, the analyst told me that if I'm holding a baby who's 3 months old, for example, when I wake up, I realize that. And so then I ask, what did I start doing 3 months ago? You know, what's new to me that's only 3 months old? And what might that mean? Am I holding on to or nurturing something? Or if you have a dream that you're pregnant, how many months pregnant? Because she also said if you're 5 months pregnant, you look at what occurred 5 months ago that, in fact, might have been sort of the beginning of a development of something in my life. The fifth kind of spiritual dream is to have a dream of illness. Now, this could be, of course, that, you know, you have a disease, but it can also be a dream of restoration of your health. So it's said that illness or disease dreams suggest that you have an inability to relax. You know, disease, we say, is dis-ease, you know, disease, D-I-S-EASE. The body cannot keep up the pace. So you want to pay attention to what's indicated as being ill. And if you did, in fact, have a dream, let's say that you had an abscess in your mouth, well, you do want to rule out that there isn't something like that in the body that is actually going on. But if you can rule that out, then you want to look at symbolically, you know, what's the mouth? The mouth is a communication center and so forth. The sixth type of spiritual dream is the dream of what is called injury or rejuvenation, a little different than disease or restoration, but injury or rejuvenation. Now, if it's injury, it would indicate, kind of like the death dream, that something old may need to be released before something new can come into being. I'll give you a quick example. Not long ago, I had a client who had a dream that her right hand was broken. And she said, you know, of course it wasn't broken, but she just knew it was her right hand that was broken. Well, our hands, remember, in body-mind are about giving and receiving. That's the energy of the hands. And because she was right-handed, it may be about not wanting, her job was, by the way, to be a writer, and she was in her 50s and had written very often, of course, with her right hand. So, you know, do I still want to be doing that work? My right hand is broken. So you can see how symbolic that would be. But if it's a dream of rejuvenation, it might indicate a problem may be becoming resolved, you know, that something is actually healing itself. The seventh kind of spiritual dream is a fighting dream, interestingly. And any kind of physical conflict dream is about an inner conflict, essentially. So if the dreamer, let's say the person has a dream that they're fighting with a family member. Well, of course, it could be that the person in real life does fight with the family member, you know, so it could be more literal. But the dreamer should really evaluate what the inner conflict is within them, particularly, you know, if there seems to be an inner conflict, or even if there doesn't seem to be one, it should be looked at. Because I could say, if it were, let's say I were fighting with my brother, I could say, well, what part of me does my brother represent to me? Okay, so, you know, not just the person literally, but what do they represent for me? Okay, the eighth type of spiritual dream, and this is one we've all had at some point, is the dream of driving a vehicle. Now, any dream in which we're driving a vehicle is said to indicate a period of growth, which I find really interesting, and also a period in which things are moving well, no matter what type of vehicle, you know, or situation. So you could have a jet plane, you could have a horse and carriage, or you could have a bicycle. You know, they're all vehicles for getting around. What I was told that I think is interesting is that the speed of the vehicle shows our potential for action or for moving forward. So this is interesting, too. Let's say I am in a jet, but my jet is creeping along at 1 mile per hour. Then I'm obviously not moving at my own potential, you know. Or if I'm driving the vehicle or I'm a passenger, how in charge do I feel about what's going on in my life? You know, are you riding along? Are you taking charge? And who else is in the vehicle of growth might also be symbolic for us to look at. The ninth type of dream is the dream of being in water. Now, water symbolizes our emotional level of consciousness. And whenever we see water in a dream, it touches on or symbolizes our emotional state. So, you know, whoever's in the dream getting wet may be undergoing an emotional clearing. And they could be getting wet by jumping into the ocean, being in a shower, a sprinkler, being put in a washing machine. As we know, illogical things can happen. But the degree of cleansing is depicted by the amount of washing we receive. And also, the amount of water can reflect emotion. So that's really interesting. Tenth type of dream, what about dreams of sexual encounters? A sex dream is said to be a way of fulfilling a desire. So who are we in the dream? What does that person represent to us, even the person we're with, if there is a person besides ourselves and so forth? And these, it says that sexual dreams often occur earlier in the sleep cycle and tend to be less remembered, but almost always as a spiritual dream, they are said to reveal our need for love and care. So that's kind of cool. 11th type of dream is a dream of what's called detachment and observation. So the 11th spiritual dream, you want to pay attention to what's going on in a dream in which you're detached, like you don't really feel like you're there. Maybe you're witnessing but not engaging. It may indicate, in fact, that you don't feel a part of what you are observing, of course, literally or symbolically. So whatever the content of that dream would be important to look at. The 12th dream, we have all, I believe, or maybe just because I've been a teacher, had a dream of being in a school or classroom scene, either teaching or learning. You know, you could be the student, you could be the teacher, but some kind of learning is going on. And the lesson depicted is what we're learning symbolically. So, you know, we have to look at what's being taught. Or a classic dream really is not feeling prepared for a test, you know, and that usually indicates something in life you're not feeling like you have enough preparation for, or you're not feeling confident about. The 13th type of dream, so here we are at the last type of dream, is the leaving experience. And a dream, the leaving dream, if you want to call it that, would be literally a dream in which we feel we leave the world. So not necessarily like a dying dream, because maybe we've gone to another dimension, but often the dreamer's in a location that seems otherworldly in some kind of way. These dreams are generally indicative of our ability to travel into another realm, and they could also indicate a memory, it's believed, of a past life experience. That is, in fact, quite possible. So just to kind of summarize dreams and what we've been looking at this evening, I'm hoping that you gained a lot of information about dreams and can, in that way, know a little more about the power of your dreams and how really your dreams are your inner guidance system. They help you tap that unconscious place in yourself, and that dreams really can help you to retrieve old information, heal old wounds, but at the same time show up with new ideas and point out conflicting feelings that otherwise you could hide from yourself. Also, they can allow you to see things that you may not be able to see if you were not in a state where it was being presented to you. You know, an idea about someone or even yourself. So I believe that dreams are extremely powerful, and I'm so glad that I had this opportunity to share some of my ideas with you this evening. Now, in closing, I really want to thank you for listening to our show and also look forward to our next show. So, and if you have ideas for topics, don't hesitate to email me at heartliving@cox.net. But I would like also to announce a new Heart Living program that I've been announcing for the last couple of shows. It's a weekend program for women described at my website, heartliving.com. This program is Heart Living Boot Camp for Women, and it is being held this month on the Chesapeake Bay in Virginia Beach, Virginia, October 24th to 26th. There are still openings, so check out my website. Let me know if you have any questions at all. It is really a fabulous opportunity to join other women who will be learning the very best of my Heart Living work. So if you go to the Dream Vision site, you'll also notice that there's a 10% off code, so should you decide to register. And again, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact me through email or through my Facebook, Heart Living. Thank you so much for listening to our show today. The Heart Living motto is live your life with passion and purpose. I truly wish you the very best. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM WUSC Boston. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Join us the first Sunday evening of every month at 7 p.m. to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides you on an enlightening journey of personal transformation. For more information, find Cynthia at her website, heartliving.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/heartliving.